Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We are here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
It is December 15th, or at least it will be when you listen to this. So I want to say, first of all, congratulations to the grand prize, second prize, and third prize winners of the holiday fundraiser drawing. Appreciate everybody who gave in order to buy tickets to help our handler. I'm going to assume that we've met some goals because we are recording this a little early. But whether we met the goals or not, I want to say that thank you very much from the bottom of my heart to everybody who purchased tickets. And whatever holiday it is you choose to celebrate this December.
like clockwork.
Us and the cuckoo clock all want to wish you a happy and or merry one. So thank you all for helping out and participating. So we don't have a guest tonight, but we're going to kind of do a little bit of a roundup of the kind of questions that we're dealing with right now. And we're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show about the roundtable, which will be live on dvradio.net next Sunday. That is Sunday the, oh dear goodness, let me look at a calendar so I don't mess it up.
I believe it's the 22nd.
Sunday the 22nd at 8 p.m. normal time, we're doing a live roundtable. Some of our guests are Dr. Veronica and Brad Morris from Psychiatric Service Dog Partners, Nia Pinheiro, our landlord, Scav and myself. I'm going to try to bring in a few more guests, at least one, maybe two.
Everybody you named so far has been on the show at one point or the other.
Yes, yes. And the topic is registries, and specifically the little push that the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans and the AKC are doing. And we will discuss that on the live roundtable. We don't need to get into this on this show.
No, you'll get both of our blood pressures going pretty good. And
Yep. We will be talking about the ADA, about equality, and look, bottom line is anybody who's trying to push for a registry is pushing for discrimination. And I use this parallel a lot, and it's fitting parallel. Remember that the ADA is a civil rights law, and it is not a law about service dogs. It is a law about treating disabled people as equals and giving them equal opportunity and equal access. And when you start putting barriers in front of that access, you start making things more difficult for people who already have an uphill battle. And when you start requiring them to identify themselves as disabled, because a dog standing next to them in a store or in a movie theater or at a restaurant isn't identification enough, now you want them to show some kind of a card or something. That is literally the definition of discrimination. That is treating those disabled people as second-class citizens. And it's frustrating and it's infuriating. And we're going to talk about other ways that the issue can be handled. But tonight, we're going to go over some common questions that we get a lot on our pages. So, Scav, you hit me with a pretty good one this morning. You want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. I'm not going to name names because we'll leave them all anonymous. But this one, it was a good one. What to do when a dog, for no apparent reason, just starts growling out in public. The handler didn't really know what to do, and the place of business asked her not to come back until she got a handle on it.
Not to bring the dog back.
Right. And I can see where that would be an issue, you know, is a person on the other end. You know, yeah. If I walked into a business and there's a dog growling on me, like you and I discussed, that's a big trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's an aggressive dog. I've got some issues with aggression, you know, aggressive dogs in my past. So, you know, and there's people with fears of dogs. So, you know, if you see a dog growling for whatever reason, and even know that, you know, to her, that dog's not going to hurt anybody. She absolutely knows in the bottom of her heart that that dog's not going to bite or whatever. It's there warning her, protecting her or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That person that walked in that office or wherever she's at doesn't know that.
Well, not only that, but the Department of Justice has made a couple of determinations, which are published in the public record about aggression. And the bottom line is, and I'm paraphrasing, the Department of Justice says that the general public has a reasonable expectation to be safe in the presence of a service dog, which is why the DOJ does not protect a bite-trained service dog. Although the law does not expressly prohibit it, the Department of Justice has determined through case ruling and through policy, as published in the Federal Record, that once you protection train, as in bite train, a service dog, it is no longer covered by the ADA.
Right.
It's no longer covered by the ADA because at that point in time, because it has training to be dangerous, it is considered dangerous. And again, the general public has a reasonable expectation that a service dog will not be dangerous.
You know, the dog may not snarl or show teeth or whatever, but still that low, distinct rumble is enough to catch somebody's attention.
And you know, the question becomes, why is the dog growling? Because that is a signal of discomfort or fear or aggression.
Right.
And, you know, it could be, you know, we don't know. We don't know the person's specific circumstances. We don't know if there's possibility that somebody has been abusing the dog, not the handler, but another party has been abusing the dog and creating this fear reaction. We don't know. So really what you need to do if you're having these kinds of issues is, first of all, pull the dog from public access immediately until you figure out what's going on, and find a behaviorist or a very experienced trainer and sit down and talk with them and have them meet the dog and work with a professional and figure out what's going on with your dog.
Right.
Remember, this is your lifeline.
Yeah. Something's tripped that dog's trigger, and you know, whether it be male, female, kid, cane, wheelchair, something's got that dog off its mark.
Yeah. And when it's off its mark means it's behaving aggressively, even if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the dog's training is solid, the dog's not going to bite, like Scaff said, other people don't. So you've right. got to, you as part of being responsible, a responsible handler, you have to remember that having a service dog somewhere that a dog isn't generally not allowed is unique, and it is an exception. Yes, it is our right as disabled handlers to take our service dogs with us wherever we go. However, to other people, that is exceptional. Now, the law protects our right, okay? It does not permit us. It does not require the businesses to allow us, okay? That's not what the law says. The law says it is our right to use our service dog and to take our service dog with us when we go to X, Y, and Z, okay? We have the right to take our medical equipment, just like a walker, wheelchair, cane, hearing aids. Service dog is not treated like an inanimate object, but legally they are considered durable medical equipment. And we have the right to use our service dogs wherever we go, with some exceptions. We can't go into the kitchen at a restaurant, obviously. You know, that's, I mean, these are common sense exceptions. So we're going to be around people, and we have to make sure as a responsible handler that our dog is trained to tolerate that. And if something starts going wrong, you've got to nip it in the bud immediately. You've got to find help if you're incapable of training the situation. You've got to find somebody who does have the knowledge and experience to help you out. Because remember, your service dog is your lifeline. It is your walker. It is your wheelchair. It is your cane.
And you and I are both on the same page. We've talked many a nights on this about positive reinforcement. You and I do not believe in, you know, the electronics and the chokers and the slamming of the leash and all this other stuff, you know. You're going to get more out of your dog with positive feedback than you are with any kind of abusive tactics.
Yes.
So, you know,
that doesn't mean you don't correct your dog. It means that you give your dog an alternative behavior that you would prefer to the behavior that the dog's doing.
Right.
And you know, I have trainers, balanced trainers, trainers who use tools are on my staff. And I'm fine with that. They also understand positive reinforcement, and they understand that my position is that positive reinforcement is the absolute best way. However, it is not the only way to train dogs.
Right.
Here is
there's a lot of people that'll use those other, and they've got success with it. It's just not my cup of tea.
Here's my thoughts on using tools such as a prong collar or an e-collar or a martingale. Martingale's as strict as I'll get, and you need to understand how to use it, and you need to be very cautious about when you apply it. You can apply pressure gently without damaging the dog with a flat collar, as long as you're not yanking on it and jerking and things like that. But here's my thought. When you're picking a dog to be a service dog, you want to look for the dog that absolutely desires to please you no matter what. That dog is going to turn itself inside out to be a part of whatever it is you're asking that dog to do. That's why Skeeter works so well, because he wants to. And I was able to take a dog who, by breed, has some very undesirable traits for service dogs. Skeeter was bred, an Alaskan Malamute is bred to pull. I taught him not to pull, not with a pinch collar, not with a martingale or an e-collar. I taught him how to pull by stopping, turning around, going back to the place where we started, or not to pull, I'm sorry, going back to the place where we started in a parking lot on our way into the PetSmart for our Canine Good Citizenship classes. Okay. By the third time that we'd got, you know, 5 or 6 feet and he started pulling and I stopped, turned around, made him go back to the start, sit, and then start all over. By the third time, he figured out that if he pulled, we didn't get anywhere. And he stopped pulling immediately. It took me 10 minutes to train a dog that's bred to pull, not to pull.
Yeah. They're like kids. They're going to get irritated with you.
Yep. He doesn't want to look at the same stuff over and over again. He wants to keep moving forward. I will take him forward as long as he does it how I want him to. Okay, it's a give and take. This is what I desire of you. And you've got to figure out how to ask it of your dog. You got to remember, too, when you're training, guess what? Dogs don't speak English. They start to learn what words mean, and they associate the sound of a word with a particular behavior. Sit, and you show them that you want them to put their butt on the ground, right? Okay. But when you start telling a puppy or a dog sit, they don't know what that sound means until you start to show them.
Yeah. Once you start working with your dog and you work with your dog and you work with your, you will find that barrier collapses and you won't even have to talk to your dog.
Yeah. A lot of times Skeeter and I just use hand signals or grunts. I talk to him all the time, but that's just part of how I trained him, how I handle him.
Right.
When we're in the store, I'll tell him to go left or right. I use mushing commands, ha and G.
or a little tug on the collar, one, you know, yeah, on his leash, one way or the other. You know, when I take Scout in the church, I don't speak to him at all. And he knows, you know, stand, sit, down, just by hand signals.
Right. And that's just, you know, I use hand signals for Skater too. Sometimes in fourth words, sometimes not. Just depends on the situation, depends on where we are and what we're doing.
And he knows certain places we mean business, and other places he's got a little bit more, you know, a little bit more lax.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Skater likes to go work some places. He goes nuts every time he goes to the VA. He loves veterans. I can be in a grocery store that we've never been in before, and Skater will find the veteran in the store every time. I am not exaggerating. This dog finds veterans. He loves going to the VA. I don't know if he just understands that veterans seem to have a different overall mindset. I don't know what it is that makes Skeeter. He finds the veteran. And he always does it. Every time I go to the store, we find another veteran. And oftentimes it's an opportunity to share a little knowledge or encouragement or, you know, and look, before I had Skeeter, I wouldn't talk to anybody.
Right.
I probably wouldn't be in the store. I was too homophobic. I hated it.
And see, you bred Skeeter. He was your dog from beginning till now.
Yes.
With Scout, I've got him from a shelter. And people need to be aware that if you get a shelter dog, you could have some issues with your shelter dog.
Yes, absolutely.
Scout came from an abused home. A heavyset guy in an electric wheelchair with a cane beat him and a pit bull that were in that house. And I had no idea about this when I adopted him. Mm-hmm. Found out the hard way going through stores with him while we were training, you know, and this big guy in an electric wheelchair comes up and Scout does an about face and takes off. And me and the trainer are looking like, what the hell was that? So the next electric wheelchair we come across, he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So here comes the corrective training, because, you know, now Scout has an issue to go along with my issues.
Uh-huh.
So over time, it's like, we find one of these people and, you know, I got to walk up to them, say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. Do you mind feeding my dog treats? So,
right. Yeah.
You know, now I've got to get up close to strangers that I really don't want to talk to. And I got to get my dog to come up to these strangers that he doesn't want anything to do with and say, you know, can you get a treat to this dog? He hates you. I'm going to tell you now, he wants nothing to do with you, but we've got to get this done. And to this day, he's a lot better. Trust me, you know, but still we work with our dogs every day.
But, and that's, you know, and that's another thing that I think a lot of times when we get these questions, I don't know what to do. A lot of times when we get these questions, the real issue is that the person wants it all right now.
It's not an all or now. It's
a process.
I will be working Scout until the day I retire Scout, or he passes, or I pass. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably start my next dog right in line with Scout, be running two dogs in public at the same time. Yep. Scout will be training the next one.
Yep. Training is continuous.
Right.
It is a living being. It is not a wheelchair or a cane or a robot. It is a living being.
It never ends.
Yeah. Training doesn't stop. You have to keep training. Here's my mindset. Every time I walk out the door with Skeeter, every single time is a training opportunity. Period. Even if we're just going potty in the yard.
Right.
It's an opportunity for training. Skeeter, again, breed traits. Skeeter has horrible recall. It's awful. It's why I'm hoarse today. Skeeter's recall is awful. Yesterday, the people kitty quarter to us have a big field, and then they have a nice house, and they have one of the largest either golden retrievers or yellow labs. I don't know what breed it is. Because it's far enough away, I can't tell. I know it's a yellow dog. It is the same size as Skeeter. So if it's a golden, it's the biggest golden I've ever seen. If it's a lab, it's the biggest lab I've ever seen. It's 100 pounds. It's Skeeter size. Skeeter wants to meet this dog. That's fine. Skeeter's not aggressive. He loves dogs. I think he thinks it's his friend who was a golden retriever who was nowhere near his size, but I think he thinks it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to go see her and play with her. And that's not bad. What's bad is he decided to take off across the road, and our road, I don't like crossing the road to check the mail. Our road is a scary place. He decided to take off across the road and across the field and try to go meet that dog. Now, thankfully, that dog, and I don't know if it's a male or a female, is not aggressive, turned tail and started heading towards its house. Me, making it across the road, hollering at the top of my lungs for Skeeter to turn around and get his ass back here. Which he did. He did. He stopped, looked at me, started going back after the dog. I said, "You knocked that off. Get over here now." Hollered at him, got him, and he turned around and he started coming back. And just as proud of himself as he could be, "Look what I did, ran across the road, you know." And, you know, I'm sitting here cussing up a storm going, "God damn it, Skeeter." You know.
But, you know, they're not robots.
No, they're not robots. And, you know what? Look, we've been here for almost 2 years now, year and a half. That's the first time he's made it across the road. I've always been able to call him back and turn him and stop him. Yesterday, he just decided today's the day. And he got 2/3 of the way there and realized I was not happy, turned and came back.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So does he have a 100% recall? So far, in 9 years, yes, he's mm-hmm. here. You know what I'm saying? Is it immediate robotic recall? No, it's not. And it's never going to be. That's a breed trait. That's just a problem that Malamutes have. I'm thankful that he's not like most Malamutes, where he'll disappear and I won't see him for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
Even when I lived up in 900 acres in the middle of nowhere in the mountains in Colorado, I could put him out the front door at 7 a.m. and know that he would cruise past the house every 2 hours, like clockwork, check in, get some water. If he was hungry, he'd eat, you know. But I knew that I could trust that he was close, and I trusted that he was close so much that I knew that if I opened the door and started the truck, Skeeter would pop up within 5 minutes because he has to go in the truck because it's, you know, that's part of his job.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the other thing is the breeds. You know, each breed is different. It's going to require different training. You know, me training Scouts completely different than you training Skeeter. Or absolutely. Us training our dogs are completely different than training a bulldog or a pit bull or a beagle.
Yep.
God forbid somebody's training a beagle. That nose is going to be a nightmare for you.
However, that nose could be the tool you need. Say,
right.
Medic alert. Blood
right.
Training. Right? You know, listen, when you're looking for a dog, look for the dog that best meets your needs. Not the dog that you think is the prettiest or the, you know, "Oh, I've always wanted to have one of those." No. You are considering what's going to help you with your disability. So you want to think really hard about what your needs are. If you need physical support, mobility assistance, okay? Well, you need a large dog, such as an Alaskan Malamute or a Mastiff or even possibly a Great Dane.
Yeah, that cute little toy poodle or chihuahua is not going to cut it pulling you up the steps.
Yeah, it's not. That dog is not physically capable of providing the support you need. You need to choose a breed that is appropriate. PTSD service dogs, really, any size, pretty much any size will work. It really will, okay? But remember, too, that your dog has to be under your control at all times, okay? And your dog has to be housebroken, and your dog has to perform tasks that assist you with your disability. You can train a chihuahua to block and cover. It's doable. They can do it. You can train a chihuahua not to be reactive in public. There are some great chihuahua service dogs.
Right.
They're unicorns. Most chihuahuas are too aggressive, too reactive, too chihuahua-ish to do the job. Okay, just because you love chihuahuas doesn't mean that your chihuahua is the right chihuahua.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know,
years trying to find the right dog.
When I started looking for my service dog, I already had a dog, mm-hmm. but she was too old, and I knew it. She's a great dog, a mixed breed mutt. But I wanted life out of my service dog, you know, and yeah. Sadie's 9. I'd be retiring her already. You know, we'd no sooner go through training, I'd getting her up to speed, and she'd be,
yeah, exactly,
put out to pasture.
Yeah, and that's another consideration, especially when you're rescuing. Nothing wrong with rescuing dogs to train as service dogs. It's fantastic. You're saving two lives. I absolutely encourage it. But remember, when you're rescuing, first of all, you've got to try to find this, you know, dog that's as young as possible, not necessarily a baby, you know, about around a year old. But you don't know what the history of that dog is.
And I'm going to tell you now, if you're going to get a rescue dog and go through a cooperative training, the one you just mentioned to me today that I was researching, or somebody like Tadsaw, they're not going to touch you until about 13 months old.
Yep.
So, you know, dogs
be mature enough.
Yep. I got scouted about 6 months old, and we played the puppy game for 6 months. You know, I took him through some obedience training and stuff on my own, and we just played the puppy game. We didn't do anything else for 6 months.
Yep.
We got to know each other.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up with this discussion and we'll talk about puppies. You're listening to The Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. If you like the programs that you're hearing on DV Radio, why don't you help support the cause? Check out patreon.com/DV Radio and become a patron. It helps us, and it helps us provide the great programming that you hear from us right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio. The holiday season isn't always about physical gifts. Sometimes it is more than that. So during this holiday season, give to dvfarm.org. The DV Farm in Gilsum, New Hampshire is dedicated to helping addicted and homeless veterans get their lives back on track. Help them and let them know that they have a purpose and they are not alone. They watched your six when they volunteered. Now you can watch their six. Give to dvfarm.org today.
Nothing to watch on TV. That's why you're listening to Barrett Talk on DVRadio.net, WDVR.
This ain't reality TV!
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal!
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Oh, rude! Well, isn't that special?
Bloody, don't you think you should rephrase that?
Mama said that.
Good day, sir!
Now class is dismissed, gentlemen.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. At Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio free of charge.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scab.
Let's talk puppies.
I got a puppy moving my chair right now. Holy cow, Scout.
I got to tell you, this is my personal opinion and this is my personal experience. You do not have to do what I did. But I actually bred Skeeter. I've had him since the day he was born, and I knew that day that he was going to be my service dog. Now, that's not normal. That is unusual. That is a freak occurrence. Do not expect anything like that. I no longer breed dogs for various reasons, but I do think that the best opportunity to build a strong bond is when you start with a puppy that is as young as possible. However, I also feel very strongly that you need to remember that you have a puppy. And I see a lot of people talking about 8, 10, 12, 14-week-old puppies and say, this is my service dog in training. And
right.
Stop that shit.
Right. No, it's a puppy.
It's a prospect at best, but you've got to let puppers pup.
Yeah. They don't become a service dog in training until 13, 14 months when they're actually in training.
Look, you've got to give your dog the opportunity. Now, don't get me wrong. There are exceptions. I can name two. Personally know the handlers. There are some exceptions. There are some dogs that at a young age are capable. Okay. This is not all, but really in general, if you want to give yourself the best opportunity and you're starting with a puppy, you need to take your time. You need to give that puppy the opportunity to grow up, gain maturity, and to learn how to be a confident, whatever it is, dog of whatever breed. I gave Skeeter 18 months of time just learning how to be a Malamute, how to be a good dog in the house, how to get along with the other dogs of the pack, and just how to be a Skeeter. Mm-hmm. And
during that 18 months, you guys formed a hell of a bond just playing and going out, learning to ride in a truck.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that he didn't have the training for me to drag him in the grocery store, so I did not drag him in the grocery store.
Right. And see, responsibility. I already had a dog that was housebroken, so when I brought Scout in, it was easy for me to housebreak him, but I wanted to bell train him because I had no ears. So we had to find a bell that I could pick up in the living room because I can't see the back door.
Right.
So we went bell shopping for me so that I could hear, you know, they made me walk about the same distance from the back door that I sit in the living room. Mm-hmm. And my wife and daughter hit these bells. Okay, I can hear these three bells that we have. Uh-huh. And then we started the bell training with Scout, put treats on the bells, and tell him to touch. And eventually we got that. But anyhow, when Baxter moved in, he was a puppy. And it's the same way. We let him be a puppy, and he followed the big dogs. Mm-hmm. They'll find their way through the house just by being dogs. And then when he turned a year old, we took him to training and let him do the obedient stuff. And he was like king shit, you know, because I'm like the big dogs now. I can give paw, and I can sit, and I can go, you know, go down, and I can do all these big fancy things the big dogs are doing. But you're right. You let them be pups.
Yeah. And look, the more you play and build that relationship with your dog learns to trust you. Your puppy learns to trust you when you don't slap it when it gets to puppy and it bites you, and those puppy teeth are hard, right? But when you handle it correctly, rather than responding in anger, you know, and you start creating confidence in your dog, in you, that's part of that bond. That Skeeter knows beyond a shadow of a doubt when I have the leash on his collar that I am not going to lead him into danger. In fact, I'm going to do everything I can to avoid dangerous situations. We've had a perfect example. We went into the Walmart over on the side by the pharmacy. And, you know, Walmarts are all pretty much all the same. The pharmacy side's on the left, or housewares and pharmacies on the left, and groceries on the right. Well, we went in the pharmacy entrance, and there was, we could not see this dog when we entered the store. Okay. As we turned left around that first row of shelving right there inside the door, there was a bully breed dog, presumably female, who was wearing a very torn and tattered pink tutu and a really filthy vest that said service dog. And she was dragging her handler towards Skeeter while she was just barking her head off, just going nuts. And Skeeter jumped back and let one bark out. I immediately switched him to my left side. They were on my right. Nevermore shoved the grocery cart in between them and us. And I hooked a left with Skeeter, got his attention focus away from the dog that was attacking him. Whether it wanted to be friendly or not, that was an attack, okay? That mm-hmm. dog was coming charging at him, barking. So I got him turned to move him away while Nevermore was ready to body slam both dog and handler with the grocery cart, because that dog wasn't stopping. It was dragging this woman through the store. And the woman goes, oh, ha, 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 he must just not like other dogs. And Nevermore was like, no, he doesn't like being attacked and not even knowing that you were there until your dog went berserk.
Right.
It just, Skeeter knows how a dog that's in the store is supposed to behave. And if the dog's not behaving, he gets upset about it and he tells me. But at the same time, when we see another team and we can see that that's a service dog that's behaving, he ignores them.
Mm-hmm.
But another part of what I do to make sure that he maintains his trust in me is I never, ever approach another team in the store unless I have made arrangements to meet somebody. And then we meet outside, let the dogs get their butt sniffs and everything over with, then refocus back on the handlers. Okay, we're working now. Mm-hmm. And then we go do, you know, whatever, if we're going to go to the movies or, you know, we as handlers, we need to think about what our dogs' needs are. We need to understand what our dogs' needs are. And we need to figure out how we can meet those needs, especially that dog being confident in us, the handler.
Right.
Just as much as we rely on and trust our dogs, they rely on and trust us just as much, especially because we're taking them to places that dogs don't normally go.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, part of the ART concept: accountability, responsibility, and training. You are responsible as the handler to train your dog so that they can handle all of that stuff. Because if you don't train your dog, you're going to end up getting held accountable. What's that accountability like? I'm sorry, but I need you to remove your dog from the business. And when your dog is doing something like growling or is out of control, is barking, one bark is okay. A provoked bark is okay. The law says that the dog should not bark repeatedly unless provoked.
Correct.
You've got someone kicking and yelling and screaming and your dog barks, guess what? It's legal, according to the ADA, for your dog to bark. It's being attacked. It is being provoked. You are in trouble. The dog is saying, stop, leave me alone, leave us alone, go away. Just like you, a human being, would be doing or should be doing if that's the case. Okay?
Yeah, there's a bunch of idiots out there that come up and get in the dog's face, and I don't know why they do it, but they do.
They don't have any sense. They don't know any better. And it's just, there are people who just don't know any better. And that's, I don't get it. I don't understand how they don't know any better. Because when I was raised to respect every dog I saw, because it's a strange dog and I have no idea what that dog's like. I don't know if it's trained or not. I don't know if it's aggressive. And guess what? Even little dogs can draw blood. Even a Chihuahua can bite your finger off.
Little dogs are probably the worst ones for bites.
Because their teeth are smaller, mm-hmm. So they're sharper.
Yeah, and kids are probably the worst ones with me and Scout mm-hmm. out and about because they charge.
Oh, yeah. Running. Dead run.
Right.
And, I was visiting a veteran in outside of Salt Lake City. We met at a restaurant to have dinner. And they had never had a service dog in this restaurant before. So, you know, I explained to the owner, you know, what the law was and everything. And I asked to be put in the back corner out of the way. Okay. I do that on purpose. It has nothing. He did not stick me in a corner. I asked to be put back there so that it was easy to watch anybody approaching anything. Man, this family came in and, these kids were probably between 6 and 11, and they literally came tearing, charging, dead run straight at Skeeter. And, you know, Skeeter looks up like, oh, shit.
Nah. Uh-huh.
And I just reached my hand out in the universal symbol for stop, and I said, no, he is a service dog, and he is working. And they stopped. Because the next step would have been, well, I've never kicked a child.
No, yet. I'm telling you.
Yes.
If I'm still on my feet, I'll step in front of Scout. But mm-hmm. you know, I'm not. I hate to do it, but you know, I'll knee bump them and put them on yeah. their ass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but this is my safety. That child that's out of control is interfering with. I do not condone harming children, but if it comes down to Skeeter and I and a kid, the kid's going to lose. Plain and simple. The kid, if their parents are not controlling them, guess what? Somebody's got to do something, because that child is essentially assaulting me and my service dog. Are they going to harm me? Probably not, unless they start trying to jump on Skeeter.
No, but the damage they could do your dog real quick, ear grabs, yeah. Lip grabs, no grabs, you know.
Well, and even, look, young kids are clumsy. They trip. But it's still a 90-pound kid charging at the dog as fast as it can, and they trip. And they can, a 90-pound kid tripping at a headlong charge into Skeeter would probably break some ribs and put him out of commission, or break a leg, or tear his ACL.
You know, the worst part is if Skeeter or Scout or anybody's service dog gets their ears pulled or whatever and nips the kid to say get away, or noses the kid and knocks him down, then we're liable.
And that's the other thing I'm very, very careful about. Look, I do let people pet my dog. I do let people say hello to my dog. And occasionally I will let children do it. But Skeeter does not understand that he weighs 100 pounds and he's massive. He thinks he's a lap dog. He curls up in my lap still to this day. I can't breathe, but I'm not going to tell him that he's not allowed to love on me, you know.
Right. And Scout's the same way. He sits on everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, he plays so hard. Like, you know, Baxter and Sadie will play, and they bite, but they're small dogs. Mm-hmm. Scout, when he plays, he bites hard. He's got big jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's okay for me, but, you know, if he does that to my daughter or my wife, they're looking at me like, he bites hard. I'm like, well, don't play with him.
Yeah, exactly. but when I allow children to greet Skeeter, I do so very carefully. I tuck my hand or wrap my hand around his cheek and hold his head against my leg, which essentially makes it he can still move, but it sort of immobilizes him so that the child can pet him without him accidentally bumping the child. Because Skeeter, I've seen him do it. My grandson was two or three. And all Skeeter did was turn his head and he bumped the baby, and the baby went flew across the room, like 3 feet away. And it wasn't aggression or anything. He just turned his head, but he's massive. And he threw my grandchild 3 feet, just turning his head.
Right.
So you have to be very aware of your dog. You have to be very aware of how your dog could physically affect other people.
Just an ass bump, walking past the coffee table.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, his tail.
Right. Scout's tail is lethal. Good Lord.
Yeah.
It's like a bull whip.
Yeah, Skeeter's like a baseball bat. He hit me across the bridge of the nose, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was exaggeration, that it was just in cartoons. No, yeah. I actually saw stars. That's real. You get whacked the right way, you see stars.
Normally, he hits me in my dead leg, which is, it's all fun and games.
Right.
And he hit me in the other leg, and I found out what my wife's been bitching about all these years. He leaves welts like somebody took a damn wiffle ball bat and smacked you as hard as you could. I'm like, holy shit.
That's Freya. Her little tail is deadly. Whap, 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 whap. And it makes that noise, too.
Uh-huh.
Like that. It's like, oh, my goodness, Freya, stop. Stop.
It's normally when you take his vest off and he shakes it off for the first time. That's when he gets you.
Oh, yeah, when Skeeter shakes, man, he can knock. Look, there are places I don't take Skeeter because it's just too tight. Mm-hmm. And if he's a happy dog. He's confident. He loves working. That tail's going when we work. His tail wags. And, you know, he could cost me several thousand dollars just being happy in a liquor store. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Whop, shatter. 15 bottles, you know, 20 bottles, and yeah, I'm done. I can't afford to fix that, you know? And that's another place I won't take him is, you know, when I go into the gas station, the aisles are too narrow, and they'll just wipe out whole displays, just whole shelves of displays, flop it all over the floor, you know?
and some gift shops when we go to places, I just stay at the end of the aisles. I'm like, there's no way I'm going into all that glasswork.
Yep. It's not safe for us to walk down there.
Nope. I'll wait right here. Thank you very much. All them dried out butterflies. No, thank you.
Yeah. This is the responsibility part of art. Think about the impact. I'm not saying that you can't go do these things with your service dog. You absolutely can. But you need to be very conscious of the impact your service dog has. Some of these stores, you can't get a wheelchair up and down the aisles in. How that's legal, how they get away with it, I don't know. Because the ADA, the same law that protects our right to use service dogs, also protects a wheelchair user's right to be able to fit in the aisles of a store. But some places are still not compliant. And a wheelchair user can't get in and out very easily or safely. Okay? Well, if it's that tight that a wheelchair can't get in and out easily or safely, think again about, if you have a large service dog especially, think again about taking your service dog in there. If you need to go in there to get X, Y, and Z, and there's no other place to get it, by all means, do so. But but understand that there is an impact. That business may not be in ADA compliance. It may be something that's worthwhile to, you know, just contact your local disability rights or whatever and just say, hey, that, you know, this store's layout was really dangerous. I was able to navigate it, but at the same time, that's really not compliant with the ADA or code inspection for some facilities, just depending on what it is. But understand again that the ADA is not a law about service dogs. It is a law protecting the right of all disabled people to have equal access.
Yeah, that would be the same as saying it's, you know, about wheelchairs or canes or whatever. It doesn't protect the equipment. It protects the disabled person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, and again, when you're starting with a puppy, same thing. Look, puppies are puppies. And remember again, there are some exceptions. I can name two. I know the people personally. Okay, there are exceptions. But in general, as a general rule, when you start with a puppy, there's only one thing you need to be concerned about. And that's building a bond with your puppy. Part of the way you do that is training, is just the household training, just training them, potty training them. How you handle potty training, that's a big thing. And the rolled up, the days of the rolled up newspaper and the nose in the poop,
that's old school bullshit right there.
That does not work. It just creates stress, tension, and fear in your dog.
You may as well chain the dog to the box and forget about him like they used to back then.
Yeah. You know, if you don't know how to appropriately potty train your dog, ask someone, find a trainer, get advice, read a book. There's a million videos on YouTube showing positive methods for potty training.
You know,
go old school. It's wrong.
No, it definitely is. Scout's never been crate trained. The other two have, but Scout goes into a crate. He likes to sleep in the Sadie's crate for whatever reason.
It's a cave. Skeeter was crate trained. And you know, it's a lot of breeds, especially northern breeds, they like crates. They like, it's like a cave. It's like a little cave that if they were, well, Malamutes especially do this, they dig and they make themselves dens like wolves.
But you know,
Scouts are not wolves. It is just a similar trait, and they like it. And Skeeter, I crate trained Skeeter, and Skeeter slept in the crate until he was about. And he told me when he was done, and he was 8.5 or 9 months old. And I told him it was bedtime, and he went and jumped on the bed.
Right, and that's with Scout. He was either in bed with me or had somebody home with him until the day he went to work for the first time. So I
was like, well, okay, we'll try it, and we tried it, and there were no problems. He never left the bed that night. So we did it again the next night. Now, he had already had free run of the house and wasn't tearing stuff up or anything. He'd get, you know, when he was younger, he'd get in the garbage once in a while. But that's a dog thing. Dogs do, you know. I haven't had Skeeter. The only time Skeeter gets in the garbage now is when he's pissed at me. and there have he's done it. Well, when I first moved here and I let Nevermore take the truck to go to work. Skeeter did two things that day. He looked right dead at me, walked over to the, we had sliding glass doors, walked over to the sliding glass doors, lifted his leg and pissed on the curtain because mama took his truck. And yeah. I'm just sitting there going, what? The, what? What? And he knew exactly what he was doing. This was absolutely a show of disdain. I cannot believe you let her take my truck.
And okay? That's the thing. They're like kids. They're... Yeah.
He was communicating the best way he could that he was not happy.
And they later are territorial.
Night, yeah. Later that night, he dumped over the trash can, and he literally, it's like, I am not exaggerating. It looked like he intentionally, we had tiles, those 1 square foot tiles. This dog made sure there was something in each individual tile. This wasn't random spread. He picked objects up and brought them over and put them into a empty square. I am not exaggerating. This is the God's honest truth. He covered every single square.
That's messed up.
He was pissed, and he was telling me. I couldn't be mad at him because it was really funny. Both of them were funny. I mean, I was upset, but I'm like, he's angry, and he can't turn around and say, how come she's taking my truck? That's bullshit, you know? Mm-hmm. He, well, like, he doesn't have words. He has to speak dog. So how does your dog tell you he's pissed off?
Yep.
You know. With
people riding the back seat of the Jeep. Mm-hmm. His scout pouched.
That scout seat.
Yep. Yeah.
You know. Do any of these behaviors mean I should wash my dog? Absolutely not.
No.
That I have some training challenges and that I need to handle my dog. But none of it's justification to give up and say no.
No, it just goes back to training. Get back on the potty training, though, because that's really high on the service dog thing. The wife and I were talking about that last night during the show about flying.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, Scout can hold his bladder a long time, but I don't think I'd really want to push him on a plane, especially with the long wait times.
Yeah.
You know, a 2 to 3 hour wait to get into a flight, and then the flight itself, depending on where we're going. Mm-hmm. And then the delays, because, you know, you could get on a plane and be on there for hours.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doable. Skeeter can go 8 hours.
Yeah. I've had Scout at 8, almost 9 hours, and he did well, but I don't like that.
Oh, I don't either. Same as I don't like not being able to go for 8 hours. That right. ain't fun.
No. You know?
But that's just here, you know, here's something I've always thought is if I've got to go, the dogs probably have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I always make it a point if I'm getting up to, from whatever I'm doing, if I'm out working in the shop or if I'm doing, you know, whatever I'm cooking or whatever, if I've got to go, I take the dogs out first.
Let's see, when I'm at work, I make sure he goes before we leave the house. Mm-hmm. And then most of the time we don't go again until lunchtime, 11:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from 6:30 until 11:30, Scout doesn't go to the bathroom unless he indicates to me that, hey, I need to go outside. Then I'll take him.
Yeah, and if Skeeter needs to go, he will tell me. I mean, there is no doubt when the big dog needs to go, there's no doubt the big dog needs to go.
Right, and that's not a question. If Scout tells me he needs to go, we're not dicking around because there's going to be an emergency on the floor if not.
But at the same time, Skeeter will tell me he needs to go. And I could say, I need you to wait for a couple of minutes. And you know, just because if I'm in the middle of something important and he'll wait half an hour, 45 right. minutes, he has to. Like if we're driving, if we're on a road trip and there's not a rest area for another 50 miles.
Right.
Tell him it's going to be a little while. I need you to wait. And he can. And he does. Yeah, but
don't you dare ignore me for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there have been times where I've just said, okay, and I've found the next exit. Just, mm-hmm. And again, every time if I've got to go, he's probably got to go. And right. that's another thing I do too, though, is when we go to Walmart, the first thing we do, we always park at the edge of the parking lot. And the first thing we do is he gets to water every single bush he feels like watering.
Nice.
And if he's got to poop, he poops.
And that's good practice too. If you're out shopping, mm-hmm. go to every store, take him out, let him go.
Yep. Absolutely.
The grass out there is free.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, look. There's nothing wrong with leaving your cart. If you're shopping with somebody, hey, I got to take dog out, be right back. But if you want to leave your cart, look, if the dog's telling you the dog needs to go out, take the dog out.
And it's a good escape for you, too, if you need to get out of a store. Hey, my dog needs to go.
Yeah, that is. Look, if you're overwhelmed, but for whatever reason, you need an excuse. Hey, he's telling me he's got to go outside.
Yeah, I've got a little code for Scout. I'll put my finger on I'll put my whole hand out on my leg, and I'll tap my finger. Uh-huh. And Scout will bump my leg, and I'm saying, we got to go outside.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it's a way to manage. You know, it's a way to look, especially if you've got social anxiety. If that's one of your symptoms for your disability, it's one of mine. Teach your dog to obviously ask to go out at a signal that, you know, like Scav's got, you know, it's real subtle. Scav and Scout know what's going on.
Right.
To go potty, but you taught the dog to ask you to go potty because
everybody in that executive meeting that I'm in don't have a clue.
You can't say, I have to go now, I'm getting overwhelmed, right? Because you're overwhelmed, right? So teach your dog to ask you to take him out, and there's your escape. Oh, I got to go. He's got to go potty.
And yeah, because everybody's going to see him get up and hit my leg and say,
time to go.
What that was about. Scott's got to go take a crap. Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah. But look, especially for a psychological service dog, or a psychiatric service dog, PTSD, a PTSD service dog, anxiety alert dog, you know, a dog that's trained to help deal with psychological symptomology, right? The dog obviously asking you to take it out in response to a signal is a task. It is a trained task. You could call it redirection, I guess. But what the dog is doing is helping extricate you from situations that you're overwhelmed in, which is a symptom of your disability. That's a legitimate task. I mean, there are people who would argue, no, that's just a part. You know what? Go fuck yourself. It's not your disability that you're dealing with. It's my disability that I'm dealing with. And if I get to the point where I'm so overwhelmed that I need my dog to take me out.
Would you rather me explode in this meeting or a public setting?
Exactly.
Have me alert that dog to get me the hell out of here.
Yep.
Which, because if I go off, there's going to be things said that can never be taken back.
Yep. And that's exactly, I mean, think about, and these are some of the ways, you know, we could sit and talk about tasks for this and tasks for that. But what the bottom line is look, it's your symptoms. It's what you have to deal with on a daily basis. Teach the dog to do what helps you. Nobody can tell you, well, that's not a real task if it actually does assist you with a quality of life issue that you suffer from because of your disability. The only way that somebody can tell you that's not legitimate is in a court of law. That's where it would end up if somebody was challenging you and you got to the point of ending up in court. That's the only place where it could be determined to be not a legitimate task.
Scout, quit eating a cat.
Well, that's about it for tonight's Service Dog Show. Sorry we didn't have any guests for you. We're kind of getting ramped up for next week's live roundtable discussion. That will be on dvradio.net, WDVR, at 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be live. It will also be recorded, but not broadcast live, on video. The video of the roundtable discussion will be available on YouTube after the broadcast has done, and it'll probably be released around the same time as the podcast. So don't miss that. I think it's going to be very informative. We're going to have a good discussion. We're going to tackle this new big attempt to try and force registries onto service dog handlers in the United States. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be a good conversation, and
it's going to be huge.
There's a listen. Passions are high. I'm angry. I'm very.
There's a lot of back channel conversations we've been having with, you know, several different people, several different organizations, and the conversations all go the same direction.
Everybody's pissed.
Yep.
Everybody's pissed. You have been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. Thank you for joining us.